All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Going to be touching on the Wells Fargo Championship. Real quickly, a recap of last week. It was another solid week, and I was actually really surprised at the ownership of John Rahm and Tony Finau. And that's because I started out the video saying it is so easy to fit John Rahm and Tony Finau into your build. And if it wasn't for Sean O'Hare choking on the last four holes of his round on Friday, it would have been an easy 6-for-6 week. Still 5-for-6, easy to cash week. Tony Finau and John Rahm, if you put them together, the amount that you need to cash was 526. If you put them together, you're at 277, 48% of the way there. They were only combined owned in 3% of cash builds and 7% of GPP lineups. Once again, that's where we are seeing a big edge in fantasy golf. People just really making it harder on themselves. Keep it simple, make it easy to cash. Let's go ahead and get into the Wells Fargo Championship. So we've had a lot of good players win this event. Okay, we've had Max Homa win it. We've had Rory win it, Jason Day, and then Brian Harman. The interesting thing I want to point out here is that there was no tournament here in 2020 because of COVID. So course history-wise, I'm going to go back another year further. That just means when we're looking at the fifth year for course history data, the course history is going to be a little bit less significant than it typically would be. So key stat-wise, we know what we should be looking at for this course because we've seen it played here a decent amount. We do want to be looking at par four scoring, ball striking. Those are kind of the two biggest ones that don't pop up on a consistent week-to-week basis in terms of how significant it is this week. Then birdie or better percentage, stroke gain off the tee, and stroke gain approach. So let's go ahead and let's get into the players with the best course history. So we have two players tied for the best course history. That's going to be Cameron Young and Matt Fitzpatrick. So kind of ignore this graphic right here. That's because they only have one start and finished second. But let's look at golfers that have had more than one start. We got Rory with tremendous course history. And although Rory's coming in with pretty bad form, he is coming in as the highest priced player in the slate and the golfer with the highest likelihood to win this week, which I kind of found interesting. Then we got Emiliano Grillo popping up in there, Joel Damon, Justin Thomas, Scott Piercy, Luke List, Brian Harman. And so what are we seeing here, guys? The common theme is that one, this is a tough track. You got a player like Jason Day, a former champion who has missed a cut, but also just a lot of players are not playing this tournament every single season. So that does make course history very interesting to me. And then obviously we have Max Homa first, missed cut first. Interesting there as well. Let's go ahead and look at the golfers with the best recent form heading into this tournament. A little bit shocking there. Patrick Cantlay pulling in for number one for recent form rank. And then Jason Day as well. Jason Day has been playing some phenomenal golf. I mean, this isn't really shocking given the quality of field that we have. The differences are very, very small. And if we look at the last five, it would actually be Xander Schauffele pulling in there as well. Because I pull in made cut percentage and whatnot into this, Patrick Cantlay is slightly favored over Xander and Jason Day. But this is the theme, guys. Look at this right here. Jason Day, Ricky, Sanjay, all very cheap price tag plays for players that are in great recent form. Wyndham Clark, you could toss in there, Jordan Spieth, and Victor Hovland. I think that's going to be a big thing that we're going to be looking at this week. And then also just looking at specialists, really no shocks here at all. Patrick Cantlay pulling in there, Tony Finau, Xander, Max Homa, Sanjay, Colin Morikawa. Really no shocks in terms of specialists. Once again, specialist is just going to be pulling in all these unique data points into one stat. That is so we're not like overdoing greens or something like that, which are bank green or course designer. You know, we're not going to overdo that. Now let's go ahead and get into the top plays in each price point tier. So I do find this week extremely interesting, just given the fact that I don't know if we need to pay up for any of the top end players. Sure, Rory you could go with, but why would we pay up for Rory when you could easily go Xander Schauffele? And because Rory has been in, you know, kind of bad recent form, it's been hit or miss. Let's be honest there. Xander Schauffele is actually ranking out as the top player in the 9-to-5 mile this week. Okay, 14th place finish at this event in his last time out, which is 2 years ago. And obviously just tremendous starts recently. 4th, 10th, 19th. Also had a good start at the Zurich Classic as well. Third place finish there. He has been someone that has just been playing some tremendous golf. And it's going to be tough to ignore. And heck, if you go back even further to the Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament, his last four starts have been 4th, 3rd, 10th, and 5th. Xander Schauffele has been playing some great golf. Then you also have the 19th in there at the Players' Championship. Yeah, he's been playing some great golf. It's going to be tough to ignore him. Now, sure, Patrick Cantlay missed a cut at this event 2 years ago, but he is in tremendous form as well. Look at those starts. Those starts are amazing. He's one of the best staff fits in the field. He is the best staff in the field. So yeah, I'd rather go Xander or Cantlay at probably lower ownership as well than I would Rory. But honestly, I don't know if that's the route that we should be going just because we are getting so much elite like price point value here. Let's start out with Jordan Spieth. Jordan, we know, has made 10 out of 12 cuts and we can see his form has been pretty spectacular there as well. Second, fourth, third, 19th, and fourth. Great stuff there. No course history here over the last 4 years, but I'm not too worried about that. Like I expect him to be able to go out and play well at a tournament like this, at a course like this. Max Homa, I really don't know what to do with him. coming in terrible form now, ranking 24th in the field, but, you know, two-time winner at this course, you know, it's tough to know what to do there. But I think like a starting point is going to be Matt Fitzpatrick for us. Now, once again, it's not going to show up because they're not including the Zurich Classic in there, but he has been playing well. Okay. Fitzpatrick finished 19th at that team event with his brother, Alex Fitzpatrick. And if you remember, Matt Fitzpatrick was priced at like 8.1 that day or that tournament. That should tell you just how bad DraftKings thought his brother was at golf. And they're still able to finish top 20 that week. That's a sign of Matt Fitzpatrick playing some great golf. Obviously won at the RBC Heritage, played well at the Masters tournament. He's someone that finished second at this event last year. Specialist wise, 11th best. Staff fit wise, top 20. Recent form wise, top 30. But I think we are catching him on the upslope of some form. I think he makes for a great GPP play. Maybe we can roster him in cash. But once again, we have another really strong cash play a little bit lower down. And that's going to be Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland has, you know, quietly been putting together a really strong season thus far. Now, yes, he did struggle at the RBC Heritage, but that was really just due to one bad round. Okay. Besides that, 7th, 5th, 10th, you know, had just been playing some great golf. He's someone that had a third place finish at this tournament last year. To me, it's going to be very difficult not to like Victor Hovland as well. But then again, we have Sungjae Im here. Sungjae Im in some tremendous recent form. You guys get the point I'm trying to make. It's that it's going to be extremely hard to pay up for anyone on the top end. Whereas like last week, where it's so obvious that we just wanted to be rostering those two players and just figure it out, this is such a loaded field. And there's so many quality plays that I think we're going to be pulling in maybe three from this range, but definitely because they're that good of plays. Now, obviously, that opens up the rest of our build to maybe go more of a fair and balanced approach. So Sungjae Im missed a cut this event 2 years ago and then finished 31st, but he's a top five stat fit, like normal, Sungjae Im. Top five in recent form, top 10 specialist. He's obviously been playing some great golf. Coming in top five in the 9-to-5 mile this week, he's going to be someone that really at that price tag, I think I'm just going to continue to play. Then if we look at Jason Day here as well, Jason Day is going to be a name that I think a lot of people are going to be clicking on. Okay, looking at his course history, 15th, missed cut, 24th, and first. Obviously, Jason Day is playing some spectacular golf. We just saw that recent form wise. Second best in the field. Top 10 stat fit, 4th in the specialist ranking. Really, his only knock is going to be that course history. And if we take out that miscut, not even a worry. So yeah, 9K Jason Day is going to be someone I think we are just going to be looking at a decent amount this week. And I guess the question would be, are we worried at all about, you know, his finishing rounds there at the Masters tournament? I am not, but I think if he does struggle, we would look back to that as a reason as to why he did struggle. Now, jumping down into the mid-tier, it's going to be so tough not to love Ricky Fowler. I try to stay off of Twitter on Monday morning because it's a lot of quick assumptions about the week, and I just don't like that before like all the data's in. And I saw a lot of people talking up Cameron Young. And now in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, but Ricky's the better option, right? Like, why aren't we talking up Ricky? It's a little bit strange. It's like people are trying to keep that close to the chest or something. Because Ricky, man, oh man. Course history wise, 21st, missed cut, 4th, 21st. So 3 out of 4 made cuts. And remember, Ricky was terrible really for the last 4 years. He is also someone like Jason Day, who's been playing much better thus far this season. He is someone that's coming in top 5 in recent form. Top 10 specialist. Course history rank, that's his one knock, okay? And then top 12 stat fit as well. And he has been someone that has just been playing some spectacular golf. I mean, look at that. Just been a top 20 machine. And what was his course history again? 3 out of 4 finishes here that were top 25 or better. So I think we're pretty much logging in a top 25 finish. And Ricky is just, with how well he's been playing, he is just due for a victory. And to me, it wouldn't be shocking for that to occur this week. I think Ricky's going to be a player that we are going out of our way to roster. Now, don't get me wrong. I do get the love for Cameron Young, and I'll be rostering him as well. Both Ricky and Cameron Young rank out top 10 in the 9-to-5 model. Cameron Young actually does rank out a little bit better. That's because of that second place finish at this event last year. Ricky is a slightly worse stat fit. Cameron Young is slightly worse in specialist ranking. And recent form rank, Ricky has Cameron Young beat a little bit as well. Because, well, Cameron Young has been a little bit too hit or miss for us to love. Still a good play. Still probably someone we are trying to roster. And then, like, I don't hate Tyrrell Hatton. Finished top 20 at the RBC. 34th at the Masters. Finished 37th at this event last year. He's actually coming in as a top 10 pick as well. He is someone I think we should be rostering this week. I do think that Corey Connors is going to be an interesting click. If you look at his miscuts, they haven't really been too terrible of miscut. And really, they've just been at the Masters and the Players' Championship. Two toughest tournaments, mentally thus far this season. He has good course history here, 21st, 43rd, and 42nd, good enough. So overall, he's a decent play, but not exactly someone we need to go out of our way to roster. Keith Mitchell's a play that I don't mind, but I do think someone like Wyndham Clark is an interesting click as well. He's made one out of two cuts here, finishing 43rd in that make cut. He's going to be a good staff at though, top 10 in the field. He's been playing some great golf that really shouldn't be that shocking because he's also top 10 in recent form rank. They don't have the third place finish in there from the team event. I am including that in there. And then a 24th place finish last week. And that was like bittersweet, honestly, last week because he was in the player pool. But had he missed the cut and had like Patrick Rogers and Gary Woodland, who was surprisingly higher on than I thought, you know, if one of those three really missed the cut, it's basically a sweat-free week last week. And it was for the most part, but because of Clark, who ended up being chalky, made the cut, they ended up bringing some other players back to the field. And Patrick Rogers actually ended up finishing top 10. So that was interesting there. But yeah, Clark is going to be a pretty solid play here, coming in as a top 20 play in the 9-5 mile. But that's going to be true for a lot of these plays here. Like Keegan Bradley is going to be a solid play. Kim is a solid play. Patrick Rogers, who I just mentioned, going to be a good play. He has finished 10th, 19th, and 5th over his past few starts. He's coming in as a top 25 play at his price tag. He's definitely an interesting play. Emiliano Grillo seems like he has found some form, and he's finished 14th and 9th at this tournament, and he's finished 5th and 7th over his last two starts now. Denny McCarthy playing better golf, okay, but he has made only one cut out of four tries here. And that was the top 25 place finish of last year. Joel Damon, when the week started, I thought he was going to be a good play to be on price-wise. I feel like this is correct. Okay, coming in off of, okay, it's not coming in off of a miscut. Finished 11th at his last event, and then 73rd, 45th. So like not terrible, but not elite. JJ Spawn, an okay play. Like there's so many good plays this week. And then I don't mind Jaeger, who, if you guys have been doing first round leaders, bets with the 9-5 betting sheet by targeting AM-only players, the random players having the first round lead over these likely players has been so annoying. Jaeger was third, I believe, for first round leader rank of AM players and sixth overall. And obviously Smotherman beat him out. Oh, that was super frustrating. But he finished sixth at this event last year. He seems like someone that is finding form. Once again, I kind of was hoping that he'd be a little bit cheaper. But we could see that this is kind of where we could get unique. This is probably where we're going to find some ownership leverage plays because, yes, we have kind of standout plays, but we have so many good plays that we could just go with whichever player is going to be lower owned. KH Lee is also a very interesting player. He's made three straight cuts here at this tournament with a top 25 place finish last year. He's also made four straight cuts on the PGA Tour, so he's definitely going to be an interesting click. Ben Martin's a decent play. Benny Ann's going to be a decent play. Like, there's so many good enough plays. It makes it very difficult, I would say. I think SH Kim is certainly someone we could still play as well. 24th, 13th, 15th, 45th. So four straight make cuts now, coming in as a top 35 play in the 9-5 model. A very soft price tag for him. If we are paying up for studs, maybe we fit him in there. So there's just a plethora of strong plays in that 7K price point tier. And that's why it's going to be tough for me to fit in, to maybe overpay for some of those 8K plays other than Ricky and other than Cameron Young. And it's weird. This is probably the best price job that DraftKings has done in quite a while. So we're not getting that many good values. So we're going to have to find some reasons to play some of these players. And to me, I'm just going to drop down kind of low, go to the 6.6K price point range. I'm going to be looking at Michael Kim. So he has missed a cut at this tournament. That's his only start in over the last 4 years, but he has made four straight cuts in the PGA Tour. Ranks out as someone that should be right around a cut sweat, ranking out 68th in the 9-5 model, which for value plays is one of the better ones that we are getting. I don't really like it, but maybe we could find a reason to play Chez Reavie, who has now made three straight cuts in a row. At this tournament, he's finished 15th, missed cut, and 18th. Like, if you're down in this price burn range and you need a play, I don't hate it. Jimmy Walker has certainly been playing some very confident golf, okay? And if you discard the Zurich Classic, he has made three straight cuts in a row and has some really good results. Now, he made the cut at this tournament the two times he's played it, but they weren't good finishes, 72nd and 45th. But still, like, once again, if you're down this price point range and need to find someone, I don't hate it. I think Scott Piercy could give us a chance at a made cut, and like that's really it. So that's where the difficult part is going to come in. And once again, that is why I think it's going to be difficult to pay up for these studs up here. So getting into the core plays for this week, you guys already know I'm going to be on Jason Day. Just the only thing that we have to worry about is literally that miscut 2 years ago. Besides that, there is not that much of a risk. Maybe He fell out of form at the Masters. I just don't see that being the case. That was just a weird tournament, weird weather week. You can kind of write that off. And besides that, had been a top 10 machine. Chances are we're going to get another good, strong finish out of him at this tournament, at least a top 25 place finish. That being said, if we love Jason Day, then we also have to love Ricky Fowler, who's basically the exact same play, maybe just slightly worse. I think they have the same upside. I would say Ricky is due for a victory. It wouldn't be shocking to see it happening this week. And then to me, I am fine paying up for Victor Hovland as well. Really, the biggest worry for him is literally his last start, where he kind of just crumbled down the stretch. Other than that, I'm playing some great golf. And then Sungjae Im as well. Okay, price point wise, sure, could be a little bit cheaper, I guess. But that's, I guess, the biggest issue. And also, I guess, the miscut in his most recent start at this tournament. But 31st place finish prior to that. He is someone that we know more times than not is going to give us a great chance at a made cut. Recent form wise, spectacular. Been a top 25 machine as well. So chances are, if we're rostering Sungjae Im this week, we're going to get a top 25 place finish. It's going to be tough not to love those players in that price point range. So let's go ahead and put these into a first look build for you. And so I had mentioned that I'm probably just going to roster whoever the lowest owned player in that low tier price point tier. So what I'm going to do right here is just pop up the data slicer and then go to 7900 and just go with who's ever the highest ranked right now. And then obviously we'll adjust if we need to based off of projected ownership. So Clark, Siwoo. Ooh, Taylor Moore popping up in there. I didn't catch that. Interesting name there. I don't mind that. All right. And actually, this should work just given our average salary remaining. Let's go ahead and put those three in. But once again, like, I'm fine with Keith Mitchell. I'm fine with Corey Connors. I'm fine with Keegan. Like, we have a lot of great plays right there. But that's going to be it for this video. Just a reminder to everyone, if you guys want access to the best value in fantasy golf, it's available for $10 a month. Get access to a bunch of tools. If you guys want more information on it, head over to 95sports.com. Right here, you'll see the featured write-up for the week as well. All right, that's it for this week's video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to give a like and subscribe. Let's have a good slate. And as always, let's keep cashing.